How many of you have been prophesying over yourself over the last week, last 2 weeks? You know, your certain conditions that happen in your life, you don't have to just settle for it. Sometimes you just people just think, well, you know, that's not it'll pass. That's it. You have God's word. You're able to operate in that. You're able to speak over that situation, whatever it is. You don't have to just settle for it. And sometimes the enemy can make us feel so guilty of things that we may have thought, we may have said, or what have you said, but God is not the one who's making us feel guilty. He's not condemning you over anything that you've done. The Holy Spirit will convict us of sin. But the thing is that it's to bring you back to repentance. But if you can't use his word, what good is it? You know, you know, people tell you question everything. And how many of you question the food that is put before you? Don't you dare question your wife's cooking. Or your husband's cooking, if you cook. But sometimes, well, if we just constantly are questioning everything, we won't ever partake of what's been given. Now, the Bible does tell us to test the spirits and things of that nature. But Jesus, I said, I'm just going all around. But Jesus talks about you're even blessed when you hear the word. When the word is preached, when you hear the word and you put it into practice. He didn't say when you hear the word and then you question it. He says when you hear the word and you put it into practice, because faith comes by what? And hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. So when you're hearing the word being preached and you put it into practice, you're going to grow spiritually. You're going to grow. The word of God is seed. It needs to be planted in your heart. Well, I'm going to test this seed out. I said, well, go ahead and test it. But when we're questioning, make sure we're doing it with humility. Still going. All right. Make sure we do it with humility. There's nothing wrong with asking God a question, but there is something wrong with questioning God because we don't think that is true. Our place as believers is that we're supposed to be trusting in him. And if we can't trust him in the littlest things, what's the problem? God wants us trusting in him. He wants us fully trusting in what he has already said, what Jesus has already done for us. If you have your Bibles, open up to the Ephesians. You got that first scripture up there? It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Jesus has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. After everything, what's left after that? There's nothing left. We understand that the material blessing that came from Abraham, we talked about that. You don't have to chase after material things because you've already been blessed with it. In that sense, that's part of the Abraham blessing. So we don't ever have to chase after something. You know, if we're chasing after material things, that means we're leaving something behind. We go after God. Those things will come and overtake us. But when we're chasing after something, we're going to have to take our attention off of what God has for us, and then we're going after what he's already promised us. That doesn't make sense in the sense of trying to go after material things. Because we can get caught up in that. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. He has blessed you. Everyone who is born again has been blessed with every spiritual blessing. There is nothing left after that. So God is not trying to withhold any good thing from you. He loves you. Bring this down. He created you to have fellowship with him. He gave you the ability to get wealth, and everyone has that ability, whether you believe that or not. Everyone has something on the inside of them that God has placed on the inside of them that can help them in their everyday life in order to obtain wealth. He promised you that. You said, no, that's not me. That's not me. That's you. Everyone has that. You have that gift on the inside of you. You just need people to help draw it out. You need people to help draw that ability out. I love watching movies and stuff, but there was this one. Anybody ever seen Facing the Giants? But that one was so good because he has this jokester on the team, that this big old lineman, that he's always cracking jokes and he's very negative and everything else. But I said, but the coach helped to draw that leadership capability out because he's seen that in him. Challenged him. He wasn't giving God everything he had. And he was able to draw that out of him. God is able to draw that out of you. People are able to draw that out of you because you have those qualities on the inside of you. He has blessed us, as past tense. Jesus has already blessed you with everything. That's his nature. That's who he is. We read about in Genesis 12, where God had blessed Abram. He says, and I will bless you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And then even in Numbers 6:22, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor, give you his peace. Whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them. Well, God doesn't want me blessed. God wants you blessed. He's already blessed you. And that blessing is to help other people. Whatever it is, whatever you're going through, God has given you more than enough to bless others. God wants you to have safety from every enemy out there. Sometimes that's even including yourself. Sometimes we could be our worst own enemy because we can get in our own heads. You ever see somebody shut down? I said, we can get in our own heads sometimes. God wants to save you even from you. God wants you to live a good, satisfied life. God wants to be wants you to be well off rather than just struggling, just trying to rub two nickels together. We've been there. We've done that. And I think at some point, we all probably been there starting out. But that's not where he wants you to end up. God desires for us to have communion with him daily. That's part of living in the blessing. I don't think there's any greater blessing than to be able to commune with God every single day, to fellowship with him every day. We're able to do that. We don't have to go to a priest. You can go right there into your own home, sit in your own room and just fellowship with the Lord. You can be in the car driving on the way to work or someplace or what have you, and you can commune with the Lord. You can be in the shower or what have you and commune with the Lord. You can be doing chores around the house. You can commune with God. You can fellowship with the Lord. There's nothing stopping you from doing that. But if we're in our own head, that becomes a problem. Nothing in this world is better than spending time with God. If God didn't want you to have his blessing in your life, he never would have blessed you with every spiritual blessing. And he wouldn't have inspired these men to write it in his word by the Holy Spirit. If he didn't want you to have it, he never would have put it in his word. His word is perfect. You don't have to memorize the whole Bible. Just get it in your heart. Just get it in your heart. People think I need to memorize it. You don't need to memorize it. Just get it in your heart. There's a lot of people who might be able to memorize and bring up every scripture in the Bible, but there may not nothing be in their heart. In Luke 11:27. This is that scripture I was talking about. As he was speaking, a woman in the crowd called out, God bless your mother, the womb from which you came and the breast that nursed you. Jesus replied, but even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. You are blessed when you hear the word of God and you put it into practice. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're even more blessed when you hear the word and you put it into practice. Apply it. See, being comfortable, getting uncomfortable, get comfortable being uncomfortable, all that talk, all you have to do is just put the word of God into practice. You're going to get all the pushback from the enemy because he's not going to want you to live out what's been spoken to your heart. He don't want that seed to produce anything. He wants to steal the word that's sown in your heart. He's a thief. And if you can't put his word into practice, then it comes to the place to where you're going to be dormant in your faith. You're not going to grow. We want you to grow. I want to hear victory after victory after victory because you're already walking in victory. We're supposed to keep that victory. In Psalms 84:11, it says, "For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right." Do what is right, what is according to his word, not culture. Culture will tell you to do something different. Culture says it's okay to be this way. It's okay to be that way. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. God's word says something contrary to it. He has something to say about culture. He has something to say about our situation that's going on here in America and all around the world. You don't have to make God's word relevant because it already is, because it's prophetic. Blessings come out of the toughest times. In Matthew 5, it says, "One day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him and he began to teach." See, this sermon wasn't for everyone. This is for every person who is a born-again believer. This sermon on the mount was for those who was following Jesus Christ. A person cannot live out these things that Jesus is talking about by operating in the flesh. It's only by living in the spirit that you are able to accomplish all of these things here. Verse 3 says, "God blesses those who are poor and realizes their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." This is a happy state, a blessed condition. Poor in spirit means you are dependent upon God. Not on yourself. You're not your own savior. We're totally dependent upon God being poor in spirit. See, people will say, God blesses those who are poor. That means I'm supposed to take a vow of poverty. No, you don't. You don't. That's a misinterpretation. Poor in spirit, you're totally dependent upon God. Lord, I need you. Every day of my life, I need you. I want to walk in your ways. I need you. I need to yield to you. I need to yield to what you have for me. I need you. I can't do it on my own. You cannot be blessed without being with the one true God. People can still have tons of money and still not be blessed because their trust is in money, not in God. Their trust is in money and not in Jesus. What did it say? For the love of money is what? The root to all kinds of evil. People who are poor in spirit are the ones who will repent of their sins because the Holy Spirit convicts them of it. They are not their own saviors. In verse 4, it says, "God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. It's not the mourning of someone passing, but it's mourning for the saints. It's mourning for the city. It's mourning for the nation. It's mourning for people out there in the world because of the fact is that they're dying. They're living in sin. They're mourning for the souls of people that want to come to, that needs to know Jesus. This is what they're mourning for. This is what they're crying over for. This is what they're pouring out in prayer for. They're pouring out for revival. They're mourning for those to come to know Jesus. Because everyone else mourns for the lost ones. And that's legit. But what he's talking about is mourning for the souls of those people. I remember long ago, I mean, we heard, I said, you know, Michael Jackson had died. And TJ, just being young, I said, it's been, what, 10, 12 years or something like that since he's, he goes, it could have been even longer. He goes, well, it's really bad if he didn't know Jesus. I said, yeah, that's true. He's mourning for the loss of those that don't know him. We need to get people to know Jesus. Share your faith. Share your faith. Blessed are those who mourn. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. Those who are submitted to God are the ones who are humbled. They have submitted and resisted the devil. Jesus was humbled. In other words, for humble is meekness. He was meek. He says, Jesus was meek. He says, take my yoke upon me and learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus walked with that humility. He walked and he humbled himself before God. He did all that. And we're supposed to do that. Sometimes it's good to kind of check yourself. And it's even better when the Holy Spirit checks you. You're getting a little bit too big for your britches. Y'all ever heard that expression? My mom would say, you're getting too big for your britches. Okay. We can all use that on our daily lives. It's not about us, it's about Jesus. Repeat that. It's not about me, it's about Jesus. A person who is meek is willing to submit to God's plans for them, his will over their very own. You want to get stronger spiritually? Live that out. Your will, Jesus, not mine. What do you want me to do today? Your will, not mine. I want you to bless somebody today. What do you mean bless? I want you to pray with them today. What do you mean bless? I want you to sow some seed into them today. Well, how much you want me to give? Give this amount and just tell them that's from you or from me. I want you to I want you to go drop some stuff off, go buy some things and drop it on their doorstep today. Lord, how do you want me to bless somebody? Ask the Lord. How do you want me to, how can I be a blessing to somebody out there today in the community? How can I be a blessing to somebody in my own home? I know it'll bless my wife if I clean the toilets or something like that, but I don't do toilets. I don't do them as good as she wants me to do them. Put it that way. Because she'll just have to come back. I said, why work twice? That don't make any sense. A person who is weak, meek, meekness is not weakness. Okay? It's not weakness. Some people think it's weakness. It's not. In verse 6, it says, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. Justice, or in other words, righteousness in God's eyes is what matters. People who hunger and thirst will get talked about a lot. Thirst for righteousness will get talked about a lot. They will have people going at them. We had a young man had passed away because he was thirsting for righteousness in this nation. He didn't die for political beliefs. He died because of his faith in Jesus. They're going to be outspoken. Who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Righteousness opposes all the wrongdoing in this world. And this is not for the weak. When you come against evil, you are going to have a huge target on your back, and people are going to want to shut you up, plot against you, and maybe even try to take you out. And verse 7 said, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Sowing and reaping being done right here. You will be shown mercy when you are merciful to others. You are merciful, you're showing compassion and helping those that need it. I had a young man ask me, what's new today? God's grace and mercy. Every day. What's new? Did somebody tell us that? God's grace and mercy. In verse 8, it says, God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. A pure heart doesn't mean that you're sinless. See, you think you have to be perfect in order to be pure. You serve the one that is perfect. You're going to miss it from time to time. That's a given. You're going to miss it. Believe it or not, I missed a few shots in my days. You're going to miss it from time to time. Pure means you are free from guilt-free life. It means you are sincere with others. It means that there's no hypocrisy about you. It means you're an upright standing person, those who are pure in heart. In order for you to have a pure heart, it starts with a repentant heart towards Jesus. Well, Lord, I don't think I've ever been a pure heart. You can get on that line and walk that line all day long. But here's the thing. All you have to do is say, Lord, help me in my walk. See, that's why I love having a relationship with Jesus, because you're going to miss it, but he's made a way for you to get right back in the presence of him when you come to him boldly. And be transparent, because God knows what we do. We can't lie to him. He knows it. And he wants to get you back so you can get out there and do what he's called you to do in your everyday life. Turn to your neighbor and say, no more moping. No more moping. We have to start with a repentant heart. Verse 9, it says, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God, or blessed are the peacemakers. I have a gun, man, in a Western, you know, Wild West. I like Westerns. You know, they have those peacemakers. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about gunslinging. But blessed are the peacemakers. It doesn't mean keeping your mouth shut and closed on situations that need truth added to it. You need truth. Peace doesn't mean just holding your peace. It means speaking out sometimes on certain situations that you know that needs to be truth in that situation. I said, the peace that the believers bring will be done in righteousness. There will never be peace for those who do evil. Those who constantly do evil, there will never be peace for them. They're going to be tormented all their days here on earth and after the fact. There will never be peace for those who do evil. And Isaiah 32:17 says, and the works of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Those who work for peace are the children of God. It's their everyday thing to bring the gospel. You know, we talk about putting on the full armor. When we put on the full armor, does anyone know here? Anyone here know what is the first thing you put on when you put on the full armor of God? What's that? No. When you're talking about righteousness. No, not the breastplate either, though. The belt of truth. The belt of truth is the first thing that comes on. It's not the belt of lies. It's the belt of truth. It's not the belt of manipulation. It's the belt of truth. When you're putting on the full armor, why? Because you're fighting with what God has given you, and there's no evil in that. It's the belt of truth. So we bring the gospel of peace, which is what our feet are prepared in. And then we have that breastplate of righteousness. We have the helmet of salvation. And we have that shield of faith. And then our offensive weapon is what? The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. That's part of the life of a believer. If you haven't been persecuted yet, give it some time. If you haven't been afflicted by anybody, give it some time. It'll happen when you're standing for truth. It'll happen. That's part of it. That's part of it. But he says this. He says, be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. The affliction that people try to put you in is only for a moment. Even Paul talked about his light affliction. And if you can read all of that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, there's a lot that Paul went through, and he called it a light affliction. He was beaten with cat of nine tails, I think three times. 39 lashes minus one. 40 lashes minus one. And the thing about it is, he called it a light affliction. You're going to be persecuted. Consider it joy. Rejoice in that. Give people high fives. Yeah, they talked about me. I got lied on. Talk about it. I forgive them. They were wrong. That was a lie straight out of a pit of hell. But I forgive them. Life's too short to continually be holding a grudge. You do what God's telling you to do. If God tells you to go reconcile, go reconcile. If God is saying that's not for this season, that's not for this season. Do what the Lord is leading you to do and be bold about it. They're going to persecute you. That's part of the thing. That's why we live our lives. I think that's a small price to pay for what Jesus has done for us. In 1 Peter 4:13, it says, "Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world." When you are faced with trials, God wants you to rejoice. What's the alternative? Going around moping. He wants you to rejoice. It doesn't mean that people get to do what they want to do to you and you can't do anything about it. You can rejoice. You can use the word of God for your situation. Let's put on the armor of God. Religious leaders couldn't stop Jesus from teaching and demonstrating the gospel. What makes you think that anyone here today can do that to you? No one. No one can stop you from preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel, demonstrating the gospel. They can't. Be bold about it. Be bold about it. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing. And life can be difficult at times, but God wants you to keep your focus on him. So where's your focus? If it's not on God, it's on something else. What keeps you up at night? Is it a deadline? What keeps you up at night? Is it your blood pressure? What keeps you up at night? Is it something you may have said that wasn't really true? What's keeping you up at night? What has your attention more than God? See, I think we all have something at some time. Because I'm not going to stand here and tell you, oh, that hasn't happened. I've been up nights, actually last night or early this morning, just going over this. Because the Lord was just sharing some stuff with me. And then there's been other things that I've been thinking about, like, years ago, that would keep me up. There's this one particular time. This is going with the God thing. Years ago, that I had a debate going on with a Calvinist, and of course, they didn't believe that the works were for today. You know, it's not necessary in the church. So we were just going back and forth, and the thing about it is, I liked it because it. I didn't like it at the time, but I did like it afterward. I appreciated the fact because it challenged me to search the scriptures for what I believe. And so we were going back and forth, and yes, I did win that one. But that's not the point. The point is, I said I still believe that he still continued to believe what he believed. And that's not a really win. That's not really a win if it's not getting us back to the word of God and what it says. But here's the thing. I was being woken up 11:30, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, what have you. Just different hours. And it was just like a drum beat in my chest, like in my spirit, like it never passed away. And it was just waking me up. Those words over and over and over again. It never passed away. It never passed away. Over and over again. And I'm saying, okay, I got to get this out. And it didn't leave until after I preached it. But it was just like, okay, these things never passed away with the apostles. These things do not pass away because it wasn't the apostles who gave those spiritual gifts. It was the Holy Spirit. See, this is what happened in the body of Christ, that we begin to shut those things down because we deemed it unnecessary. And God is like, yeah, that's not the case. That's not the case. You need it. You don't know what you're coming up against. Sometimes your laws are not going to protect you, but he will. When are we going to get to the place to where we sound like those three Hebrew boys or Daniel and his friends? I will not bow down. God will save us. No, you can't pray. No, I'm gonna go ahead and pray, and I'm gonna use the name of Jesus. And if you don't like that, I'm gonna open up my windows and my curtains in my room, and I'm gonna pray to my Heavenly Father. It doesn't matter. You cannot operate in it. And see, people get creative now. They use many in that day will say, "Lord, Lord." I said, I don't care about that. Why? Because I got a personal relationship. Those people didn't have a relationship with Jesus. They didn't. That's why they don't do it. That's why they have to imitate it. They never had a relationship with Jesus. You do. So you're able to do those things when the Lord tells you, when the Lord leads you. So don't back down from that. Don't ever back down from that. If God gives you a word, and I don't know how the women's group goes, hopefully it's joyful and refreshing and stuff. If God's got a word in your spirit, speak it out. Why? Because that's going to edify everyone there. That's what those gifts are for, is to edify the church. And what do we do now? Laser light shows. We trade the anointing for something else. And that's not what God wants for us. Don't trade the anointing for something else. Don't trade the anointing for you know, people's opinions and just to be popular, to have influence. It's not worth it to get a few likes on your thing. It's not worth it. What you have is something special. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Don't trade that off for what the world can offer you. That was a free gift. That was paid by the blood of Jesus. Time to press in. Press into what he's called you to do. Some of you know, I said, you've just been hesitant. I've already started writing a book. It's got pop-out pictures and stuff. Big old dinosaur. Pterodactyl. But he put that on my heart years ago when I was coaching. And I delayed it that long. When was the last time I coached? 2020? 2019? 18? Ethan's senior year? 18, yeah. 7 years. Delayed it. Let's not delay what God has told us another day. What God has told us, not what people tell us, what God has told us. That's what matters. What God tells you. What the Holy Spirit speaks to you in your quiet time. Don't delay that. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. And we are not holding back, not 1 ounce in what you have for us. Father, we just thank you for everyone here. Everyone that's here and even online. We thank you for blessing them with every spiritual blessing, every spiritual blessing, Lord. We thank you for that. And as in how God had instructed Moses to tell Aaron and his sons, Lord, we just pronounce this blessing over everybody on this camera. It says, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. Give you his peace. Whenever Aaron and the sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I will bless them. And we just thank you for that. If you got any sickness in your body, any cancer, anything, any disease that is in your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, we call you healed by the stripes of Jesus. That sickness has no right to be in your body. And if you've committed any sin, ask God to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And he's faithful and just to do that. It just takes a little humility. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Getting ready to receive communion. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 11:23, this is the Passion Translation, it says, I have handed down to you what came to me by direct revelation from the Lord himself. The same night in which he was handed over, he took bread and gave thanks. He distributed it to the disciples and said, take it and eat your fill. It is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. He did the same with the cup of wine after supper and said, this cup seals the new covenant with my blood. Drink it. And whenever you do this, do it to remember me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the story, proclaiming our Lord's death until he comes. For this reason, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in the wrong spirit will be guilty of dishonoring the body and the blood of the Lord. Jesus' blood was shed to establish a new and better covenant. In Hebrews 9:14, it says, the blood of Jesus purifies us from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. The enemy is defeated by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. The blood of Jesus purchased our freedom. You were bought by the blood of Jesus. So that means you don't belong to anyone else but to him. No one owns you. We can go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting in him because of the blood of Jesus that makes us clean. In 1 Peter 2:24 says, Jesus personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we could be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you were healed. As the ushers bring it around, we're going to hold it up and I'll say, take, eat the body of Christ, and then that's when you partake it. You all must stand. Next Tuesday, the 14th, is the collection for a trick-or-treat so others can eat. So you empty out your pantry. They will collect it. But one of the things I want to do is do something a little different. I'm going to back my truck up here. It's going to be right here. And we want to fill that up to give to the community. Yes. She says she can bring it. We can take it there. But next Sunday. So bring it to church next Sunday. We'll fill it up. And I'll have it in my truck and it's got a lid on it. So it'll all be closed up and stuff. and we're going to take that and donate that to the community. We good? Also, this is another thing that I want to do, but I've been talking with people. I want to do us for community outreach this month on the 29th, last Wednesday, and do something for the kiddos and adults if you like to have fun. Some people call it the Hallelujah Night. I kind of want to just call it Family Fun Night. Come here, play games, be people coming in, getting some candy and stuff. Good environment. You can get your competition on if you like. And you'd be amazed what we can do in such a short time because I plan lock-ins like a week out. And this is when that deadline is pushed. I can cram things in. But it's but if you want to be a part of kind of help organizing that stuff, I would love for you all to step in and do all that stuff. But let me know what you think. If you think that's not going to be a good idea, just let me know. Just give me your opinion on that. But I've been praying about this for a while, so this is something I want to do so that we can start reaching out to the community and stuff, and they can come on in and see what we have. Amen? So October 29th, let's plan a family fun night. All right? Amen. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for each and every person here, Lord. We thank you for their life, health, and strength. And Lord, we thank you for the purpose that you have for them. We thank you that they are blessed. They are blessed. Remind them every single day, you're blessed. Every time they look in the mirror, you're blessed. We thank you for the lives that they're impacting around them, wherever they go. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You all have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.